You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Towards the end of April 2019, credit rating agency CRISIL, that is Credit Rating Information Services of India Limited, downgraded the credit rating of DHFL's commercial paper, that is Dewan Housing Finance's commercial paper, making its short-term unsecured promissory notes more vulnerable. Just a few days before that, ratings agency CARE, that is Credit Analysis and Research Limited, had downgraded instruments of the Anil Ambani Group companies Reliance Home Finance and Reliance Commercial Finance. This downgrade to default status was because of the firm's long-term debt. Now, back in January 2019, CRISIL had downgraded the bonds of ILNFS Transportation Networks. Meanwhile, the Subhash Chandra-led SL Group is rushing to sell assets and promoter stake in various group companies in an attempt to meet its immediate debt repayment obligations. And just like that, we have four large groups, all of them in trouble one way or another. All this was festering under the surface until, of course, the ILNFS situation became public in August of last year and exposed the crisis in the non-banking finance companies sector, that is, NBFCs. So, what is it about the NBFCs? One might well think. After all, they are secondary players. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. The four groups that I just spoke about, back in March 2018, together owed 3.6 lakh crore rupees to lenders. To put things in better perspective, these four groups account for almost 15% of the total assets parked by mutual funds in debt. The exposure of banks, similarly, is considerable. What all this means is that this crisis has the potential to affect economic indicators across the board, as a lot of money that would be potential loans is locked up here. It also had an impact on the stocks of various NBFCs as a result, and what we have now brewing is an NBFC crisis. You might have heard of it on business channels, you've heard me mentioning this several times, but to unpack what exactly this crisis is and who the major players are and what the resolution is likely going to be is the point of this edition of Digging Deeper. On Digging Deeper with Money Control, with me Rakesh Sharma, today we will talk about the NBFC crisis.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
It was in August 2018 that the crisis became public once the news of ILNFS came out. It had a debt of more than 90,000 crore rupees, and there was a serious threat of default on its loans. That threat was realized just the next month. In September, ILNFS failed several times in its obligation to redeem its commercial papers. This also started an understandable panic as investors tried to sell their shares in NBFCs. Since many mutual funds also had substantial exposure to ILNFS, there was also those funds. The ILNFS story unfolded over the next few weeks and months with the government moving in and appointing a panel to try and recover the money by selling off assets of the ILNFS group. But this was hardly the end of it. If anything, that was just the beginning. On a slightly different tack, the ILNFS problem has had other fallouts. The government has asked the National Company Law Tribunal, that is the NCLT, to bar the previous and current auditors of ILNFS, that is Deloitte, and BSR, which is an affiliate of KPMG, for 5 years on charges of lapses in auditing the company. If this happens, more than 275 companies listed on the National Stock Exchange stand to be affected, as these 275 companies are audited by these two firms as well. Now, what had led to the ILNFS crisis was the general practice of the NBFCs in borrowing short-term from banks and mutual funds and lending long-term to their clients, often real estate companies. As long as everything chugged along, the weakness in the system was of little consequence, but the moment there was a hitch, the inherent imbalance between the short-term borrowing and the long-term lending came to the fore. If the borrowing and lending terms were similar, the inflow and outflow would match. But in this case, the NBFCs were borrowing often for 6 months, that is short term, while lending for 5 years, that is long term. So when the project got held up for various reasons and the loans were not being repaid in time, the NBFCs had little margin and their potential default would happen in a matter of months. In January 2019, one got to know of the troubles of the SL Group. Quickly, the problems facing Anil Ambani's Reliance Group companies also became known, and the latest has been DHFL. NBFCs play a big role as in-betweeners, filling up the areas where the banks don't operate or at least aren't involved at the level of demand in the market. With this crisis, banks and mutual funds lending the NBFCs started to fear that there could be more defaults. The consequence of that was that they became reluctant to lend to NBFCs, or even if they did lend, it was at higher interest rates. This naturally meant that the NBFCs didn't have enough funds to lend, or the available funds were more expensive. And that affects sectors like real estate and the auto industry. Though the crisis, as of now, isn't a real worry, at least according to some analysts, tens of thousands of crores are invested in real estate and infrastructure. Right now, the promoters are unable to borrow more, which means the projects are held up. That, in turn, means that there is a problem with money flow. On top of that, there is a danger of the erosion of value of these companies. Their shares are held up by their lenders, and they're now getting into standstill arrangements with them holding on to the shares and not selling them. One reason for this situation, ruled by unsecured loans and loans against shares, was the excess money in the system. After demonetization, a lot of cash flowed into banks, and a part of it also went into mutual funds. This made a lot of money available to the NBFCs. Their growth zoomed, and their loans grew at twice the rate of the banks. All this led to a laxity in the underwriting of the loans, without which the loans and the situation would be better secured. Now, with the NBFCs facing trouble and their ratings being downgraded, they will find it more difficult to access these funds. The current situation can have the effect of reducing the flow of credit to various sectors in the economy. One of the sectors most affected would be the MSME sector, that is the medium, small and micro enterprises, which rely heavily on NBFCs. As a result, production would be affected, in turn affecting consumption, which could all contribute to a downward spiral of the economy in the near term. The Reserve Bank of India has been doing its own little bit of firefighting. It has been doing its bit in the last year or so to help with this situation. The RBI bought government bonds from the market to the tune of about 3 lakh crore rupees, which is a large part of the money tied up because of the problems in the four large groups that I started the podcast with. The infusion of liquidity is a temporary measure and can only address the credit shortage in the current situation. The vulnerabilities and weaknesses in the system will, of course, continue to persist and will take time to set right. The banks are still wary of lending to the NBFCs. The NBFCs will also first have to find funds to get out of the mess they're in, because the money locked up in projects is not likely to be released anytime soon. This means they will end up borrowing at higher rates. The sale of their assets, which is what is happening at ILFS and is also underway at SL and DHFL, is the other thing that they are banking on. SL is scouting for a buyer to sell a minority stake in its group company, that is Z Entertainment Enterprises, so that it can meet the payment dues coming up in the next couple of months. All this, however, is likely to only address their current liabilities. It is only going to put a bandage, but is not going to address the disease underneath. The SL Group has a total debt of over 16,000 crore rupees and owes more than 7,000 crore rupees to mutual funds. The funds have, for now, agreed not to sell the pledged shares of SL Group companies, allowing SL to handle the issue by the end of September. Divan Housing, meanwhile, is in similar straits. Its stock has been hammered at the markets, going below 100 rupees earlier this month. In the last 1 year, the stock has gone down by a whopping 83-something%, with two-thirds of its losses coming in 2019 alone. The company is being watched closely because of the quantum of its debt, which now stands at over 1 lakh crore rupees. Divan Housing has already defaulted on the payment of 960 crore rupees of interest due on bonds and is being watched closely to see whether it will be able to meet its current month obligations of 125 crore rupees. It is selling one of its units and expects payments from Blackstone for this. UTI Mutual Fund and Reliance Mutual Fund have the highest exposure to Divan Housing Finance. Reliance Mutual Fund has stated that DHFL has fulfilled its obligations for payments for the period of 4th June to the 7th June. Concrete steps seem to have been taken to see to it that the crisis does not deepen and that confidence returns to the credit market and eventually strengthens the economy, which has now reached a 5-year low in growth. However, For all these NBFCs, this is just the beginning of a new beginning. The repair work will first have to be done before operations can be brought back to normal. The best case scenario, according to agencies monitoring the situation, is that this will take at least a year. One important consequence of all this is that the NBFCs, which had gained market share in the wake of the liquidity post-demonetization, could lose it to the banks once again. With the NBFCs facing a crunch, the banks are in a position to cover shortage. In fact, banks are already addressing the changed situation, with Axis Bank alone having raised capital and HDFC Bank mulling plans to raise 50,000 crore rupees. But in the middle of all of this, things may not be all that bad after all, at least according to some analysts. The government, for one, doesn't seem to be all that worried if its recent moves are to be considered. The centre has decided to just let things play out for now, which seems to indicate that things are not all that bad, or not likely to go pear-shaped all that soon, or they're being completely ignorant of the biggest crisis facing the Indian economy. Another point is that foreign investors have been positive about the capital markets this month. In the period of June 3rd to 7th, foreign inflow, that is FII inflow, was more than 7,000 crore rupees. Out of this, more than 5,000 crore rupees were invested in debt instruments. The election results have promised a stable government, and also the centre is meeting the fiscal deficit target of 3.4%, and that seems to have helped in this as well. The RBI has also relaxed regulations, making it easier for NBFCs to raise money. The central bank has also raised the single-party exposure limit from 10% to 15%, making it possible for banks to finance the NBFCs to a higher extent. But these steps need to be followed up in terms of willingness to fund the NBFCs. This is not expected to happen in a hurry, and we have something of a catch-22 situation. Till confidence returns, the interest rates the NBFCs are charged will remain high. But as long as interest rates are high, they will not be able to borrow optimally, which in turn can infuse confidence. There's a saying in Kannada, madhve agde huchbidala, huchbidde madhve agala. You can't get married if you're still insane, but you will remain insane if you don't get married. So it's a classic catch-22, and this cycle will need to be broken. As Madan Sabnavis, chief economist at CARE Ratings, said, and I quote, "If you look at NBFCs, there is no problem in terms of assets. We have very good quality assets. The NPA levels are very low. The problem appears to be more in terms of liquidity," unquote. So with the fundamentals being in place, it may take just that little step for the cycle to be broken. The government, on its part, believes that though the liquidity crunch will impact growth in the short term, a full-blown crisis is unlikely. This stands against the worry of analysts and market watchers who fear that this situation could snowball and affect many more finance companies. The lack of funds could lead to more defaults and end up having a further deleterious effect on construction and infrastructure firms. The government position, though, suggests confidence. It believes, based on its close monitoring ever since ILNFS blew up last year, that this malaise will not spread. This contagion will not spread. There will be short-term pain for the affected NBFCs and for the economy. A company might even collapse. But in the long run, the sector and the economy will both come out of this stronger, is the government's belief. Or at least, that's what it appears. That said, the government is also prepared to step in if things do go south.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Meanwhile, this policy of non-intervention seems to work as well. While ILNFS is being taken care of by a government-appointed panel and the SL Group is already in the process of selling assets to release cash, DHFL also is selling its 49% stake in Avance Financial Services and its stake in Aadhar Housing Finance to raise about 2,500 crore rupees. Edelweiss Financial Services, another troubled NBFC, is on its way to selling minority stakes in its subsidiaries to see that the company stays afloat. On another side, real estate companies are also addressing this resource crunch by selling stake or getting rid of their assets. So as the government hopes, and others in the field too, the situation might just sort itself out for the good. Just wait for some time, a year and some, and if it doesn't, or indeed does, I will be here to tell you all about it. Do write in to tell us your own experiences of what the NBFC crisis has done to you personally and what you think are viable solutions in your opinion. mcpodcast@nw18.com is where you need to reach out to me. Having said that, do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.